Welcome to Fantasy Football Today. Let's get it started. Guys, did you know? Are you ready for this? Are you ready? You ready?
Yes.
Okay, you ready. Good. I just had to confirm. Did you know that if you take Kirk Cousins, right? Kirk Cousins, Redskins quarterback, you take his fantasy points in his last 8 regular season games, you multiply by 2 for 16, he's the number 2 quarterback in fantasy this year behind Cam Newton.
Wow. That's some fancy math by you.
Thank you. Really, all I did was I added 8 numbers together, and then I multiplied by 2.
Wow.
Isn't that something?
Where does he rank if you take his first 8 games and multiply by 2?
I don't know, Dave. I didn't bother with that.
Oh, okay. You know what you get? You get Nick Foles after his last 8 games a couple years ago multiplied by 2.
Doesn't Cousins feel a little bit more legit than Nick Foles?
Yes.
Yes. But
except when he gets paid.
And he also had a very nice schedule down the stretch.
Oh, you know what? I am glad you mentioned that because he played 3 of the 4 worst defenses against quarterbacks. That would be the Saints, the Giants, and the Eagles. He played the Bears, who I think were 7th worst, and the Bills, who were 12th worst. And he only had 1 good game out of 3 against the Cowboys twice and the Panthers, which were the 3 good defenses he faced. So where are you drafting Kirk Cousins next year?
Not.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'll pick him up, though.
I think he's a – you don't think he's like in the top 15 range?
Yeah, no. He's in that range.
I don't think he's even in that range.
All right.
Well, first off, is he back in Washington?
Yeah. I'm assuming he is.
Yeah, I would also assume that.
All right, well, anybody.
I mean, look, the one thing about his schedule is the Giants aren't going to be very good. The Eagles aren't going to be very good.
Right.
Hey, Cowboys, I'm sure, will probably be decent.
It's hard to predict.
How's Washington's run game going to be next year?
Probably same.
Oh, okay. So everything's just staying the way that it is.
Well, I mean, in to a certain degree, don't you expect that?
No. Because everything changes year.
You expect
year.
Matt Jones to all of a sudden turn the Redskins' running game?
I don't know if it's going to be Matt Jones. It could be somebody who's not even in the NFL right now.
Oh, I'd be surprised if they invested in that position.
I wouldn't. It's a cheap investment to make in the position. And they saw.
Well, they have a cheap investment in that position that's already.
Right, but they have no one else besides that cheap investment.
No, Chris Thompson. I would imagine that's their 2 guys.
Okay. Well, then maybe I've got Kirk Cousins ranked too low for 2016.
As some of these players get eliminated from the 2016 season, or 2015 season, 16 postseason, we'll talk about where we see them going next year, like Andy Dalton and Jeremy Hill, who's, you know, been banged up and disappointing. I don't think we'll have time for emails today. We'll see. FantasyFootball@CBSi.com. If we don't read them today, we'll read them next week. FantasyFootball@CBSi.com, and getting a lot of baseball podcast emails. I encourage you to listen to our Fantasy Baseball Today podcast and our Opening Line podcast for some betting advice. But please put football podcast in your subject line when you send us an email. Thank you for joining us. We're going to talk about the weekend's games. We're going to look ahead. We're going to set a FanDuel lineup. We're going to talk about win percentage. The players that were on the highest amount. What's the best way of saying this? Highest amount of winning teams?
Yes.
Okay, so basically the
contributed to the most wins.
There you go. That's a good way of putting it. This wasn't supposed to come up in the show, but we were talking about it off air before the show started. I really can't stand when you go to a restaurant and they give you bread and they give you ice cold butter that you can't even spread on it. It just drives me crazy, guys.
You've got a lot of problems.
Yeah.
You're telling me that doesn't bother you at all?
No. Because you just take the whole pad of butter and you just plop it on the bread, and then you kind of make the bread into like a cold butter holder, and then you just eat the whole pad of butter while you have the bread. It's delicious.
No, you want warm butter that you can spread. Here's your quote of the day. It was all that Dan Marino's fault. Everyone knows that. If he had held the ball, laces out like he was supposed to, Ray never would have missed that kick. And I think we know what comes next. But how about that Vikings game, huh? What a finish.
Unreal. Poor Blair Walsh.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
Jeff
Locke.
Unbelievable. But I don't think the laces have everything to do with it or nothing to do with it? Because that's like a huge debate now, is that it doesn't really matter where the laces are on the ball, and that's more of a mental thing. And they're saying that Walsh like rushed it and ended up hitting the ball with his ankle instead of his foot.
Well, yeah, he kicked one with the laces out earlier in the game.
Right.
With the laces in earlier in the game.
Earlier in the game. It made it.
Yeah. Well, the Seahawks, definitely get a little lucky. And Marshawn Lynch did not play. Here are your injury updates. Marshawn Lynch didn't play. Ben Roethlisberger, Antonio Brown, they got hurt. Do you expect those three to play this weekend?
It sounds as if Roethlisberger and Brown will play, but obviously that remains to be seen.
I had to make a last-minute FanDuel change. I was thinking big things from Marshawn Lynch, and I had a feeling that I should have gone with Spencer Ware, but I went with Sharkhandrick West. But are we on the Ware train now if we're going with the Chiefs running back at this point?
I think you have to be, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Jeremy, not that I would line up to use him.
Jeremy Maclin is a high ankle sprain, no knee damage. We'll check on him later in the week. Jonathan Stewart expected to practice this week. DeMarcus Ware, we're hoping he plays, unless you're a Pittsburgh fan. And Davante Adams has a knee injury. So anyway, I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to give you a game. Kansas City 30, Houston nothing. You guys talk about it. What stood out to you? We can move on from some of these fairly quickly and talk win percentage soon. But Kansas City blanks the Texans 30 to nothing. Fantasy relevant stuff from this game. What'd you guys think?
Well, I mean, I was so impressed with Brian Hoyer. I don't think I've seen a guy play that well. I mean, that was terrible.
Yeah, it was awful. It was
he
predictable.
Brandon Whedon looked like
they were chanting for him.
Yeah.
The Houston Texans were bad. Like, they were the worst team in the playoffs. And now they've been eliminated.
Yes.
They should have stuck with Alfred Blue.
So
he ran well.
Well, he had a 49-yard run.
That really, I mean, look for him. That's running well.
Yeah, yeah. Well, look, he's actually
done a nice job though to close the season.
Yeah, he's had 3 100-yard games in his last four. Does that mean anything for you guys? Obviously, Foster could be in the picture. What does that mean for you for Alfred Blue next year?
I think this is another team that's going to make a change at running back and bring in some.
Oh, they need to
new. Yeah, Arian Foster, they can't count on, and he's got a huge contract coming up. So it would surprise me if he doesn't rework his deal with them. He's going to be on a different team next year.
Foster?
Foster.
Oh, I would imagine he's done if he's on a different team.
Done as in?
Retired.
Maybe. Maybe. I've got him ranked as like a middle of the pack number three running back.
Travis Kelce, 8 catches for 128 yards on 10 targets. And it wasn't all because Maclin left. Are you going to have a sour taste in your mouth from Kelce this year, from this year when you go into next year's draft?
I think he goes from being a tight end that you coveted to a tight end you settled for.
Yeah.
Where do you think he ends up getting picked?
Oh, mid-round.
Like 7-8, somewhere in there?
Yeah, once the second tight end run starts.
Pittsburgh 18, Cincinnati 16. We're hoping D'Angelo Williams plays this week.
He's seeing a foot specialist.
All right. Where are you going to draft Jeremy Hill next year? I hope he falls, because I could see a rebound from him.
I agree too.
I think he'll be in that round four range.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind him. What happened to Jeremy Hill? What is your diagnosis of Jeremy Hill, who went from averaging 5.1 yards per carry to 3.6 yards per carry? In fact, he had basically the same amount of carries, 223 this year, 222 last year. But he had 794 yards this year after over 1,100 in 2014. Did actually have more rushing touchdowns this year.
And he didn't even play a full season in 2014.
Yeah.
Very frustrating. I would imagine he stays in Cincinnati. And the Bengals...
Jeremy Hill stays in Cincinnati?
Yeah.
Where would he go?
Well, there could be an offensive coordinator change there, and that could... I don't know if Giovanni Bernard's going to stay in Cincinnati.
They're both not free agents.
But I could see Gio getting traded to wherever Hugh Jackson goes, because I know that Hugh likes him a lot. So
I wouldn't expect them both to be back.
Expect there to be a tandem for sure, but Hill will be a part of that tandem in Cincinnati. And it's not like you can look at the offensive line and say that needs improvement. I don't think that was the problem with Hill. Maybe he was banged up. Maybe he was playing heavy. He looked great in August. I can't put my finger on why Hill had a bad year.
It was Gio being healthy. All of his numbers came last year when Gio got hurt.
No, I don't. I think that's too simple, because why would he average 1.5 yards less per carry? He just didn't perform well.
No, it's coming off the field.
No, it's just he didn't perform well. I mean,
his carries were different, Adam. You're getting carries in the late in the game situation. It's much easier to, you know, wear on defenses that are struggling at that point, as opposed to, you know, when he's getting carries early in the game.
That cannot possibly account for him being this bad. And look at his, like...
That's not all of it, obviously, but that's part of it.
That's part of it, maybe, but I don't think that's the crux of it. I think he was banged up. In fact, they talked about how he was dealing with nagging injuries this year. in the broadcast on Saturday. And I just I hope there's a story that comes out about how injured he was this year, and he can get healthy, because I can't imagine, like, how could you account for this much of a drop off and him not having a carry all season long of 20 yards until week 17? You know,
Sophomore slump. Who knows?
It's worth investigating a little bit this offseason.
Does it make you nervous at all for Todd Gurley?
No,
I like Gurley's situation better.
Okay. Seattle 10 and Minnesota 9. I'm going to chalk a lot of the crappiness up to the weather. Is that fair?
I think that's fair.
It's two good defenses.
That's what Blair Walsh said. He's like, yeah, it was the weather. That's what it was. Yeah.
So,
it was the cloud.
It was cold out there.
It was
not for Bud Grant.
Two great defenses that had just they had a hard time moving the ball. Seattle was really stuck until Russell Wilson had the snap go over his head.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then he avoided like half the Vikings defense and found a wide open Tyler Lockett.
Until he had a Russell Wilson play.
Yeah.
All right. Stephon Diggs in weeks 4 through 8, which was only 4 games because the Vikings had a week 5 bye. He had 6 for 87 at Denver, over 100 yards against the Chiefs, 129 yards. Over 100 yards and a touchdown at Detroit and 95 yards and a touchdown at Chicago. It looked like a budding star. And then he only had one good game the rest of the season, one game with more than 6 fantasy points in standard leagues the rest of the season, and that was 3 catches on 4 targets for 55 yards and 2 touchdowns at the Bears. Not a coincidence that his 4 good games in weeks 4 through 8 were his 4 most targeted games. But what do you think about Diggs next year? Can he take the next step? Can he be a breakout guy?
Potentially. I think he's a number 4 receiver that you know, kind of take in the group of guys you're looking for high upside with a late round pick.
And the thing that I like about him is that he's going to have a role in that offense for sure.
Okay, would you rather have Devontae Parker or Stephon Diggs next year?
Parker.
Would you rather have Stephon Diggs or, let's say, man, help me out here. Jordan Matthews next year.
Oh, Matthews.
I agree.
I think Diggs is going to be in the group with the rookies, you know, depending on wherever the high upside rookies end up, you know, like that type of player. You know, he'll be in the group of like the veteran guys that you kind of don't want, like wherever Bolden ends up. Maybe like I take Tyler Lockett over him, but I think that's kind of a similar type of player.
Wow. Okay. All right, Green Bay 35.
Why, you're more optimistic?
What's that?
You're more optimistic?
I think Diggs could be a star.
Yeah,
I don't disagree.
I'll tell you the thing that I don't disagree there. I think the thing that a lot of people are going to be concerned about is 2 years ago it was Patterson.
Yeah.
Last year it was Charles Johnson. Now it's Diggs. You know, he'll have a big training camp, a big preseason game or two, and then it's going to be, oh, here we go again.
Yeah.
And they disappoint
him. That's why you wait to take him. Right. And also, I want to see what the Vikings end up doing with the rest of the receiving core. So well, I'm pretty sure they're going to add somebody.
Let me say this. They're going indoors next year, the Vikings. And I think that could help.
Yep.
Because Bridgewater, I guess, has a better track record indoors than outdoors.
Well, Patterson will fly on that surface.
Yeah. What about his hands? How are they going to be?
In his hands is rookie year.
Green Bay 35 and Washington 18. So the Packers are moving on. As we look at the Redskins here, where are you drafting Jordan Reed next year? He was the number 3 tight end in standard, only 1 fantasy point behind Gary Barnage, and he was the number 2 tight end in PPR leagues. 87 catches, 952 yards, and 11 touchdowns in 14 regular season games. That's not even counting what he did. He destroyed the Packers. This guy's a great player when he's healthy. Where are you drafting Jordan Reed next year?
By round 5.
Oh, no, he's going to go before then. He's a top 3 fantasy tight end. I'm worried that no matter where we put him, it's going to be too low because people are going to take him in round 2. I don't think I'm ready to take him as a top 24 pick. I think he's close to there. Might be in that Jimmy Graham area from this year. But you got to look at the negatives with him. Number 1, is Kirk Cousins going to be as good? Number 2, is he going to stay healthy? We know he's got injury issues. If you draft him in round 2, that means you're passing on a great receiver, a good running back, maybe Cam Newton. This is the problem with tight ends after Gronk and maybe this is why Gronk is still going to be a very popular pick, is because they've got little problems with him. Not big problems, but Jordan Reed, injury concerns, quarterback concerns. Tyler Eifert, injury concerns. Delanie Walker, you know, he's got the quarterback, doesn't seem like he's injury prone. I'll say this about all three of those tight ends I just mentioned, they're all entering contract years in 2016. So they all have potential to play big, fight through the nagging injuries, and then score with a huge contract in the a year from now.
I also think that the Redskins really could use another wide receiver, and that's an area they could invest in the draft. You think that would change your mind about him? Maybe you'd cool on Jordan Reed a little bit if they had another legitimate pass catcher in there?
Well, not if they
draft
one.
I mean, they like Crowder a lot.
Right. I don't think they add another receiver.
I think they need to. You
well,
don't think so?
I can take a look at their contract. I think Garcon might get cut. He's due to make a lot of money next year. Deshaun, I think they've got to stick with him. And they do like Crowder a lot. I think they'd have to like go crazy and make a splash with a rookie receiver like Laquon Treadwell, who they're not high enough to get in the draft, or somehow come up with Alshon Jeffrey via free agency in order for somebody to come along to scare me off of Jordan Reed. He's basically their number one receiver.
Right, exactly.
He is their number one receiver.
Yeah.
Right. And I think, yeah. Well,
but there's just the problem is covering him like a number one receiver when they've also got DeSean Jackson streaking all over the place. That's a tall order for any defense. Except the Packers, they just did it.
No, I mean, the Packers didn't play great defense. They played pretty well. In the second half, they played very well.
Yeah.
There's one other guy I wanted to ask you about when you would draft him, and that's Andy Dalton. Is now Andy Dalton's season's over, and it's been over for a while. So I gave you that stat about Kirk Cousins. You take his last eight games, you multiply by two, he's the number two quarterback in fantasy. Dalton, you take the 12 games he played. I'm not going to include the Pittsburgh game when he got hurt. He averaged almost 24 fantasy points per game in 6 point per passing touchdown leagues. If you take those 12 games, give him 16 games, he's the number five quarterback in fantasy behind Cam Newton, Tom Brady, Russell Wilson, and Blake Bortles. What do you think about Andy Dalton in 2016?
He's number one quarterback.
Okay, but is he a top five quarterback?
No, he's top 10.
I'll give you some names. Dalton or Bortles?
Bortles.
I got Dalton one spot higher.
Dalton or Russell Wilson?
Wilson.
Wilson.
Dalton or... no, Carson Palmer's too easy, right? Because they were tied this year, basically.
Yeah, I'm back-to-back. I would take Palmer.
Okay.
I would, too.
I guess it's not that easy. All right, top 10 quarterback next year. Anything else from Wild Card Weekend, guys? How'd you do in FanDuel?
Miserable.
I won.
Good for you.
Why, Dave? What happened?
I did not do a great job with my defense. I chose the Houston Texans.
Ooh.
That didn't work out so well.
And I chose the Chiefs, and I
Me
cashed.
Too.
Oh, and
I think it pretty
what
much
I was worried
had,
about was that everybody was going to take the Chiefs.
If you had Chiefs and some combination of Reed or Cousins, you did well.
Yeah.
I had all three. I don't know about you, Adam.
I had I had Reed, the Chiefs, and I had Russell Wilson at quarterback. I think I finished like 110th out of like 350 or something in a 50-50.
You want to hear who the champ had? The $100,000 lineup?
It was Cousins.
Cousins was the quarterback.
It was Ware.
Nope.
Lacy.
Nope.
So Starks? Running back wasn't big for them?
Starks?
Oh, no. Running back was big for them.
James Starks.
Nope.
Fitz Toussaint.
Fitz Toussaint and?
Jeremy Hill.
No.
Jeremy Hill.
No.
Jordan Todman.
Oh, Chris Thompson.
Owned in 0.5% of FanDuel leagues and was originally in my lineups with Marshawn Lynch. Chris Thompson.
Thompson.
I originally had Lynch and Thompson in my lineup. And when Lynch was out, I had to make a change. And so I went cheap at two running back spots. Did not choose well. Did not choose well.
Yeah, I went from Lynch and Toussaint to Lacy and Lacy and Michael.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so who else was in the winning lineup?
AJ Green,
yeah,
Antonio Brown, James Hoodie Jones, Jordan Reed was the tight end, Cairo Santos at kicker, and the Kansas City Chiefs.
Mine wasn't far off from that.
Yeah, me too.
I had Green, I had Reed. There's a running back.
You want to hear a heartbreaker? So the championship, the winner, $100,000 winner, scored 158.66 points. Second place, 40,000, which isn't bad, but a difference of 60 G's, 158.46 points.
Oh, wow.
By 0.2 of a point, because he went with Spencer Ware and Martavis Bryant. He had a very different group of running backs and receivers.
The butt flip catch.
Well, I'll tell you what, man. I think there's only one defense that you can go with this week. I think you got to go, unless Roethlisberger's out or really limited, I think you got to go with the Patriots. And they're actually the third cheapest defense. But a lot of really good offenses remaining right now. So, I mean, do you guys see any defense that you'd be willing to go with? Maybe the Cardinals, thinking they get after Rodgers, but it's still the Packers, you know?
Yeah, I still like the Cardinals. I mean, you saw what they did to them 3 weeks ago. It was pretty embarrassing.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Good performance there. Well, FanDuel is a great way to keep playing fantasy football right now if your season's over. We all played it over the weekend. I had DeSean Jackson in my 50-50, and I was so mad at DeSean Jackson when he didn't get in the end zone.
He's allergic to the touchdown sometimes.
It's so weird. And that was just a really dumb play, but, you know, and it cost them. Cost them, what, they kicked the field goal there, so it cost them 4 points. So anyway, keep on playing FanDuel. Later on in this show, we're going to help you out setting a lineup for the division rounds, and you'll love it. If you haven't played already, you will love it. It's a great way, great time to get started if you haven't gotten started, because you probably are like missing fantasy football. This is a way to fill that void. Now it's time to talk win percentage before we break down the four divisional games. Win percentage, Jamie, I'm really annoyed by who's number one. I feel like it doesn't really give, it doesn't really do justice to how useful this exercise could be.
Oh, I disagree. I think it sums up this exercise perfectly.
I feel like usually it's a guy like DeAndre Hopkins is number four. You know, if he had been number one, I'd be like, that's a great draft pick. But number one is stupid Tim Hightower.
This is exactly what this thing is all about, Adam.
Do you remember who it was last year?
No, but I can look up if you're really curious.
I'm already on the track.
I feel like it was a legit, like, Gronkowski-like name last year.
Maybe.
But anyway, Tim Hightower, Denard Robinson, Antonio Brown, DeAndre Hopkins, and Julio Jones are your top five. And then Devontae Freeman, Brandon Marshall, Allen Robinson, Tom Brady, like, all that makes sense. And then you get to Tyler Lockett. There's your top 10. But what were your takeaways from this win percentage story?
Oh, this is the way every league should be run next year, is heavy on receiver and then just play Russian roulette with running backs.
Not Russian roulette. We want you to live.
Rushing
please,
roulette.
Please.
Rushing roulette. Am
Rushing
I right?
roulette, yes. I mean, look at the top group. It's heavy on receiver, and then it's just kind of pick your poison at running back. And whoever the best one was that week was the one that helped you the most.
Okay, so Hightower number one and Robinson number two. And Robinson yes. wasn't even that good. Which
no, but you got to think about it, though. The way that this works is typically teams that are competing at the end are obviously going to be very heavily active on the waiver wire with right. the top guys that are available to you.
Right.
So that's why Hightower is where he is, Robinson where he is, Tyler Lockett where he is. I was surprised, you know, when you get through it, like Sean Drone is a top 20 running back, you know, just because of when he was added toward the end of the season. The thing that surprised me was like David Johnson not being higher up, because clearly he played well at the end. Russell Wilson, he played well at the end. But these are guys that were added at the middle point of the season or even held from the beginning of the year, where some owners clearly were struggling and were out of it by the end of the season, even though they were on the rosters.
Yeah, that is pretty interesting stuff. After Hightower and Robinson, the running backs make a lot more sense. The winningest running backs after Hightower and Robinson, Devontae Freeman, Adrian Peterson, Todd Gurley, Doug Martin, Chris Ivory, Lamar Miller, James White, David Johnson, D'Angelo Williams. So we see, you know, a good trend there. The quarterback that was on the highest percentage of winning teams is Tom Brady, followed by Cam.
Well, think about where he was drafted.
Yeah. So I like that takeaway that you got from that. You know, draft wide receivers early and then fill in the blanks with the rest. Dave, you have anything to say for this exercise?
No, I mean, I just have a different philosophy, a little different philosophy on the get your receivers early and then fill in the running backs along the way. But I don't know if that's for here or now.
Well, sure. Go for it.
Well, it's what we talked about on our last podcast, where if you can get a stud running back, try not to pass it up. You can still get very good receivers after round one. It's okay. And take a look at some of the receivers that were in the top 10. You've got DeAndre Hopkins, wasn't a first-round pick. Brandon Marshall, clearly not a first-round pick. Allen Robinson wasn't a first-round pick. I don't think anybody can argue that those were winning players, and they were certainly consistent players, to help everybody with their fantasy leagues. And overall, I'll say something else. I think there's many different ways you can go about building your team next year. But the one thing that we'll have in common, and this is also indicative of the results, is that you don't have to go crazy with a quarterback early on. The most winning quarterback, I guess, was Brady.
Yeah.
And people drafted him by the end, maybe around four, round five, like in September, when there was no suspension in place. And then Cam Newton was also a winning quarterback, 54.6%. And that just tells me that you can still wait on quarterback and get good value. It also tells me that the waiver wire is the most important part of fantasy football, and doing well off the waiver wire and being cognizant is the number one tool in your tool belt. Use it well. Thank you.
Yeah, pretty hard to argue with that. I think the fact that Rob Gronkowski was the tight end on the highest percentage of winning teams is very interesting, because like the number one running back, Tim Hightower, the number one quarterback, Tom Brady, the number one wide receiver was Antonio Brown, but number two is DeAndre Hopkins. You get a lot of value picks that show up on this list. The fact that Rob Gronkowski ends up being number one when he was a first or a second round pick, I think it can give you confidence to take him that high again.
Oh, sure. He's a top five pick next year, without a doubt.
I mean, you can just look at what he did this year, and you'll know to take him as a first round pick. And consistency was off the charts. He had the average fantasy point total for a top 12 tight end this year was 7.6 fantasy points per game. So 8 fantasy points from your tight end. That was good. Gronk did that 11 times out of basically 15 games. So that's a pretty good consistency. 73% of the time he was helping your team. And he actually had 8 or 9 fantasy points once. 10 times he had 10 or more fantasy points. I think everybody knows what to do with Gronk and how they should feel about him.
Okay. Let's talk about this week's upcoming games. We got 4 games on the schedule. I'm crazy here. Did the Chiefs and the Patriots play this season?
No.
Okay.
No.
That's the one game.
Season.
That's the one game that's not a rematch. Everything else is a rematch. Arizona destroyed Green Bay very recently. Carolina beat Seattle. I think it was week 6 in Seattle.
Yep.
And Pittsburgh and Denver played just a few weeks ago. It was a very good game, but Pittsburgh put up a lot of points, and they won. Do you remember the score? 34-27, I think the score was. I'll obviously look that up. But, all right, so highest scoring game, biggest fantasy game. What would be the B word this week on the schedule?
I always say if Roethlisberger plays, that's an easy one to look at. But if the Packers offense shows up, it should be the Packers Cardinals.
Will it show up?
Yeah, it's a thing. Who knows? The Redskins defense is terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't think the Packers looked that good. You know, like this whole thing about the Packers being back, I doubt you guys are really convinced that they're back. I'm certainly not.
No.
So what do you think? What do you think about Rodgers this week? I'll tell you his FanDuel value. Rodgers is the 5th most expensive quarterback at 8,300. Carson Palmer is the most expensive at 8,900. What do you think about Rodgers?
He's the of Rodgers?
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't take him.
You can make the argument that he's going to have to pass a lot, theoretically.
Sure.
But no, I'm with you. I wouldn't take him.
It's not a great week. Last week was a bad week for running backs. This week's going to be a bad week for quarterbacks.
You think so?
Well, I mean, we have no idea what the Patriots' offense is going to look like. I mean, if Vollmer doesn't play, if Edelman's not 100%, he's still, you know, coming off of a long layoff. Think about what Dez Bryant did, you know, the same injury coming back. You know, it took him a couple of games to get used to, you know, where his foot was at and certainly how he was going to play. I don't know if Brady comes out and lights up the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs are going to make some more mistakes because playing in New England's tough, and Belichick's had 2 weeks to prepare for them. But I don't expect Brady to come out and light them up, and I don't expect Cam and Russell Wilson to put up big stats against each other.
we haven't seen the Panthers really without Charles Tillman and Ben Wickery now. Both are out for the season.
Right.
So can and they've been a little weak against the pass toward the end of the year. Do you think Russell Wilson could have a big game?
He would be someone I would consider.
He is my quarterback right now in the lineup that I currently have. Now,
he doesn't have a good history against the Panthers, though.
Also, remember the stat I gave last week about I looked at his pass attempts, Russell Wilson's pass attempts in all of his playoff games, and it was usually right around like 25, 26. That's what he threw last week, 26, and that was right when they were trailing. If they get Marshawn Lynch back, it's like they've forgotten that they can really pass the ball very well. Now, maybe it was the weather. Maybe it was the weather. But are they going to let him throw more than 26 times? It's a legitimate concern, I think.
He may have to.
I think it's the best plan of attack. I think they have more success of going to the air than the ground.
Right. And that makes perfect sense because of the matchup and because of what they have at running back, especially if Lynch isn't ready to play. You know, they gave Michael 20 carries against Minnesota on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
That's an awful lot.
Yeah. And by the way,
I remember thinking at the end of the game, all Seattle has to do to win this game is make sure Chris and Michael gets a first down and not fumble. Think about how dicey that proposition is.
Now, Pittsburgh-Denver is very interesting because it was 34-27 the first time they played. And remember, Emmanuel Sanders had a huge game, but they left him completely alone for one of his touchdowns. And Antonio Brown scored the first touchdowns in like 2 years against Chris Harris. But I was doing the opening line podcast earlier. Larry Hartstein said, I don't remember this, but I'm sure he's right, both of the Broncos' safeties didn't play in that game. So the Denver defense is much healthier now than it was then. And then you got the Ben Roethlisberger injury. So what do you think about shelling out big FanDuel bucks for the Steelers' offense?
I don't think I'm doing it.
I don't know how you could trust it. Although, if, you know, Roethlisberger's shoulder is not as bad as it could be, and Brown is fine, they're going to be throwing all day, too.
Yeah.
His shoulder won't be fine.
Well, fine enough.
Did you see? I didn't like the way he was throwing the ball.
Well, he was just throwing the ball short.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Little
if that's all
passes
he can do.
The longest throw that he made was the one where Brown got knocked out.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to clarify one thing. I said that I'm going with the Patriots DST. It's really about Macklin. If Macklin plays, I might reconsider, but I can't see the Chiefs doing anything if Macklin doesn't play. He's just so valuable.
I don't know how they do it.
Totally agree. If Macklin's out, that makes them a great play.
If Macklin's out, does Kelce benefit?
Yes and no.
I mean, he'll get a ton of targets, but we've seen him. I was looking at his game log today. He's had a couple like 8 and 9 target games where he didn't do anything with it.
And if I recall, the Patriots have been pretty good against tight ends, right?
The Patriots, for the most part this season, were good against tight ends, yes.
Right. All right, I'm going to give you a few names at wide receiver. These guys are all within $200 of each other on FanDuel. John Brown, Randall Cobb, Michael Floyd, James Jones, Ted Ginn. Who are your top three in that group?
I would say the two Cardinals guys would be in there for me.
They're in the one lineup I've done already.
Same here.
Which means you're probably going with Carson Palmer as your quarterback just to take the mega stack. And I guess I'd go with James Jones as the third one. Maybe, I don't know. I might go back and see how Patrick Peterson, where he lined up and who he spent the most time with. I would imagine the Cardinals are going to
stick with the game plan. He bounced around because he spent time on Cobb.
Right, so I would imagine that they're going to have a game plan similar to what they did the last time they played against them when they held them to 8 total points.
Now, if David Bakhtiari, the left tackle for the Packers, is healthy and playing, do you think that could open things up? Because obviously their offensive line was a huge issue. Rodgers was sacked 8 times in the blowout loss at Arizona. If he's healthy, does that change things for you? Do you think the Packers become a much more viable offense?
No.
No?
Oh, more viable than the last time, yes. Viable enough to where I want to start him. I mean, look, they scored, what, 32 points?
Mm-hmm.
And Rodgers had 210 and 2 touchdowns. They're going to still try and run the ball.
I like Emmanuel Sanders. He is the 5th most expensive wide receiver. I think Peyton Manning is pretty good for Emmanuel Sanders. And again, going against the Steelers.
I don't mind. I wouldn't
Adam,
mind.
We
a
got
mega,
the same lineup, I guess.
I wouldn't mind a mega stack with the Broncos, where those receivers can make some catch and run plays against Pittsburgh in that terrible secondary.
Their defense played well, though, against the Bengals. I mean, it's McCarron, but
did.
Is McCarron and Peyton Manning that far apart at this point?
No.
They're saying Peyton looks great in practice. I don't know what I wouldn't expect to hear anything else, I guess. But
Peyton looks awful in practice.
No, look, Dave, that's something that I'm going to have to see to believe. Because you know what else he looked good? He looked good against the Packers coming off a bye. And this is a guy who has had a lot of time off, and maybe he had a little bit more arm strength because of it. But I just don't trust him. Like, I'm assuming it's going to be freezing. And he's been bad throughout his career in cold weather when he's been, you know, one of the best quarterbacks in football.
Sure.
This guy was the one of the worst starting quarterbacks in the NFL while he was healthy this year. So I just can't believe it. And it's not like he played that well. You know, he didn't do anything when he came in last week.
So you think you should go with the Broncos running backs then?
I do have CJ Anderson in there.
We have the same.
All right, Jamie, here's my lineup. My lineup. Russell Wilson.
All right, we're different.
Well, I have $400 left. Oh, I need 100 more for Carson Palmer. Russell Wilson.
You can
find
that money. Just change your kicker.
I could do that. CJ Anderson, David Johnson.
Ding, ding.
Oh, my gosh. Emmanuel Sanders, Michael Floyd, and John Brown.
Ding, ding, ding.
Greg Olson?
Ding.
Chris Boswell?
Ding.
Patriots.
No, I have the Patriots in. I don't know how you're I have $100 different, but I have Carson in there. What's Russell Wilson's price? I have Crosby and the Patriots.
Is Crosby that much cheaper than Boswell?
He's the cheapest kicker. He's $200.
Yeah, he is $200 cheaper than. So if I went Crosby, I could get Carson Palmer. We would have the same exact lineup, huh? I'm going to stick.
Yes.
For now, I'm going to stick with. No, that's stupid. I'm going to go with. I'm going to go with Carson Palmer and Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young. I like it, Jamie.
Way to copy my paper.
Well, if I'm going to go contrarian, I know 9 players I'm not using.
Very funny. Yeah. All right. So, any other?
I mean, the thing about these tournaments now is I had this conversation with Heath Cummings. They're not really tournaments. They're cash games.
Because
everybody's got the same player pool.
Right.
Well, everybody has the limited player pool every week, but it's so limited.
Right.
Okay, let me go game by game. You tell me, Patriots wide receivers, what do you think about them? Who would you go with? Would you go with anybody? Do you trust them? Go.
I think one of their guys will have a big game. I just can't tell you who it's going to be.
You don't think Edelman? I think Edelman's going to be. I think all the Patriots will be popular picks. So Edelman, Gronk, Brady. Those guys will be in a lot of lineups.
It's going to be interesting because Gronk versus Eric Berry is going to be fun.
Yeah, it's true.
Not if they give him single coverage in the end zone, then it's going to be easy touchdown.
Easy touchdown.
Kind of like kind of like Eifert against Tyrann Mathieu. I don't even know if that materialized, but Eifert caught 2 touchdowns in that game, right?
Well, I think I could look it up. I don't think they gave up a touchdown to a number one tight end. I know they didn't with Barnage. All the tight ends who scored against them were backup tight ends.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's just Gronkowski, he breaks all those rules, you know?
Oh, for sure. I mean, but the thing is, do you want to pay for him? Because he's going to be expensive.
I don't think I've had Gronkowski in my lineup once. Tight end, I think,
benefited from it.
It's a great position to find value in because Gronkowski is usually so much more expensive than everyone else. And I never have him.
All the tight ends that scored against the Chiefs this year, Lee Smith for the Raiders, Kyle Rudolph scored against, I'm sorry, so one, no, wait. Yeah, Kyle Rudolph scored for them. Okay. 2 catches, 9 yards and a touchdown. And then Virgil Green, 2 catches, 12 yards.
That is such a Kyle Rudolph stat line.
Yeah, I just think that you know what the Patriots do. If they're going to throw a fade, it's going to be to him. And nobody can stop him. Nobody. Patriots running backs, any interest? James White?
Yeah, sure.
Is he affected by the presence of Amendola? Negatively affected?
Maybe so. I would probably say it's the other way around, though.
Okay.
That's usually how it goes.
Any Chiefs you're interested in?
I mean, Kelce will be a good contrarian play because I don't think a lot of people will trust him going against New England.
Yeah, but I bet that's who they try and take away.
Oh, for sure.
How much?
Conley would be the big-time contrarian play.
How much does the health of Sebastian Vollmer, New England's left tackle, impact this game?
It's huge. Sebastian Vollmer is a humongous piece of the puzzle.
I mean,
he might be the difference between the Patriots winning by 10 and winning by 17.
Green Bay at Arizona. Thoughts on Eddie Lacy or James Starks?
I try not to.
Lacy, had a good game against them the last time. He was the only one that scored.
Joe Buck was talking about his rib injury, though, and he did not get that many carries. If I had known that, I wouldn't have put him in my stupid lineup. Although he did score. He came through, but I don't know if it's too injured to trust.
We'll see how he does in practice.
Okay.
The best thing that happens to him next year is James Starks leaves as a free agent.
Or they bring in another running back and minimize Eddie Lacy.
Randall Cobb did not do well against Arizona the first time out. What do you think?
No way. I mean, it was nice that he had 50 total yards and a touchdown, so anybody who used him was somewhat rewarded, but the touchdown was on such a broken play that, you know, it was so fluky. And then this is now five of his last six games with 50 yards receiving or less.
There's always, you know, in baseball, football, whatever, there's always like one or two guys that I just think, this is not a criticism of FanDuel, I just think FanDuel underprices every single week, and that's Michael Floyd, in my opinion.
Oh, it's crazy.
I don't know how he's the cheapest Arizona wide receiver. I don't think you can even consider Larry Fitzgerald unless you're in a tournament and you expect him to be the least owned, when Fitzgerald is the most expensive. And Floyd is just the best wide receiver for them, right?
But don't you think that's trying to get you to play the name as opposed to the production?
As in why Fitzgerald's priced higher?
Right.
That could also have to do with how he was performing at the beginning of the year, and that pushed his value higher, higher, higher.
Right.
And it never really came down.
Yeah, it's
and look,
high.
He has scored in his last two games.
And Floyd didn't start the year healthy.
But if you guys were doing rankings, you would have Floyd number one, right?
Yeah.
Dave?
Yes.
Okay. David Johnson should have a big week.
He's going to be in everybody's lineup, though.
Yeah.
He's the free space on the bingo card.
Seattle at Carolina. Would you trust Marshawn Lynch? How much would you trust him in this game?
I wouldn't.
None.
Okay.
It's funny because, you know, to go all in with him last week and then now we just did a video show. I don't think he ever plays again.
You don't think he's going to play this week?
I don't think he's going to play again.
Jamie's calling for retirement for Marshawn.
I think he's going to retire.
Well, would you trust Jonathan Stewart this week? Seattle's run defense has been unbelievable lately.
You all right?
Not really. You guys should talk
about. No, I would not trust Jonathan Stewart coming off the foot injury.
There's so few running backs that I would trust that you almost want to build a lineup around Johnson, just even though everybody's going to take him, just to get him on your team.
It's going
to
be,
all right, I got one spot where I'm going to get some production.
It's going to be Johnson and Anderson, Johnson and White.
Johnson and Anderson might be the way to go.
That's what
or
we
what
have.
About Johnson? What about Johnson and Hillman?
Is that the
contrarian combo?
Yeah, could be.
Jamie and I have Johnson and Anderson. I'm not sure how much longer my voice is going to hold out after that little choke attack. So how about the quarterbacks? Who do you like better, Russell Wilson or Cam Newton?
Well, what do you think?
Who do I like better? Or who do I think you like better?
No, who do you like better?
Wilson.
That's
why
I like better.
Why?
I don't
Cam
have
just
a great
have
answer.
One good game in his career against Seattle, and it just came this year. Or is there
I think it was
two good games against him. I'm gonna
Russell Wilson was bad against them his entire career.
I think that the Seattle defense is playing at its peak, at its Super Bowl caliber level. I don't feel the same way about Carolina's right now. And I could see myself being wrong. I don't have a lot of conviction in this one, but I'm going to take Wilson.
Cam had two total touchdowns, 269 yards, two interceptions at Seattle earlier this season. And then the playoffs last year at Seattle, 246 yards, two touchdowns, two interceptions, 30 yards rushing. He gets modest rushing yardage. He has five interceptions in his last three games against the Seahawks. All within the last 13 months.
It's going to be a war.
Nah, it's a little longer than 13 months.
It's going to be 15 months. If Arizona wins this game easy, Arizona's going to walk the Super Bowl. Those two teams are going to be so beat up playing each other.
Do you like Doug Baldwin?
No. He was bad against the Panthers the first time around, and you would anticipate, at least if I was coaching the Panthers, I'd just put Josh Norman on him.
Yeah, but that would mean he'd have to go into the slot again.
So do you think this is a low-scoring game? Do you think it's like in the 20s for each team?
I think the Panthers secondary could be a little vulnerable here.
I do too.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think it's in the 20s, but low 20s. This is going to be like a 23-20 game.
Who do you think wins?
Carolina.
I agree.
Who do you think wins the Green Bay game?
Arizona.
And New England for sure.
And Denver.
Yep.
And
I think New England wins. I think Pittsburgh wins.
Oh, you're taking Pittsburgh over Denver?
Hmm?
Not me.
You want to couch that with a health asterisk?
Obviously, if Roethlisberger's out, there's no chance.
There's no way Roethlisberger's going to be out. Like, I'd be surprised, but
I was surprised that when he came back on the field, he'd go right back in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, but I wonder how healthy he's going to be, and we're not going to know that. You know? Until kickoff.
No, we'll know if they lose. We won't know if they win.
So in this game for Denver, CJ Anderson is in our lineups, me and Jamie, and I guess Dave hasn't made his yet, but, he's pretty cheap. And Demaryius Thomas, we avoided him. We went Emmanuel Sanders. Is there a particular reason, Jamie, that you went Sanders over Thomas?
Cost. I wanted to get the Cardinals guys in.
Right. Do you like Demaryius Thomas in general in this game?
Yeah. I mean, you look what AJ Green just did. Number one receiver, so had good success against Pittsburgh. So I think both guys will play well. It's just a matter of always which one's which.
Dave, how about the Steelers running back situation?
It's gross. I don't want to use them at Denver. I think if you used Toussaint last week, you lucked out.
So you're talking as if you don't think D'Angelo's
going to play? No, not until he practices and until there's some sort of indication that it looks good for him to play.
And if he does play, how would you rank him with, like, let's say Jonathan Stewart and D'Angelo Williams?
I think he'll be all right, I guess. Wait a minute. Are you talking about D'Angelo or Toussaint?
No, D'Angelo. If D'Angelo plays, how would you rank him with Jonathan Stewart?
I'd put him ahead of Jonathan Stewart, but it wouldn't be pretty.
It is a pretty lousy week for running backs, isn't it?
It's better than last week. Yeah.
It is better than last week?
Well, you have David Johnson. You have Anderson. You know, you might have D'Angelo back.
But you have Pittsburgh, Denver, Kansas City, Arizona, Seattle, Carolina. You've got excellent run defenses.
But I mean, James White doesn't really have to be, you know, carrying the ball to have success.
Yeah, it's true. How about the Steelers wide receivers? Give me your quick take on them.
Who's the quarterback?
Ben Roethlisberger.
I mean, Wheaton played well the last time.
I think he's a sneaky play. I thought he'd be a sneaky play this past week, too.
Is Antonio Brown worth the money?
I think after the fumble, that hurt him.
That's true.
Huh?
Is Antonio Brown worth the money?
Is he worth a look? I think it's almost like he's a contrarian play.
Is he worth the money?
No.
All right.
You guys going to watch the first time around. He's uncoverable.
You going to watch the game tonight or what?
Of course.
Yeah.
Staying up for the whole thing?
Going to try.
Yes.
It's so late. That was so damn late.
You excited for your vacation?
Oh, my. Yes, I'm
Where's
excited.
Your vacation?
Tomorrow.
I didn't know about this. Vacation?
Yeah, I'm going on vacation tomorrow.
Where to?
The Dominican Republic.
Oh, well,
don't you remember we gave him a whole hard time about this? He's got to propose to his girlfriend.
I'm not proposing to my girlfriend on this trip. Sorry.
Huh?
I am not proposing to my girlfriend on this trip.
Yeah, you told us that.
But if I did, I would do it in a wedding singer style, where I would have the pilot or the stewardess or steward or whatever, flight attendant, give me the intercom, and I would bring my guitar and I would sing a song.
What song?
A ring for me, a ring for you. Let's get married in the big brown shoe. Now give me $1 million.
Yes, exactly. That classic, that Adam Sandler classic, Let's Get Married in a Big Brown Shoe. and obviously it would be a Brian Adams song, Dave. We all know that.
Wouldn't you rather give the ring to the pilot and just say, put this on the cockpit dash. And then say, why don't you go take a tour of the cockpit, honey? And she goes in and she sees it. And her heart melts because she knows what's going on. And then you don't even get down on a knee because you're already in the cockpit.
You go on a lot of planes where they let you in the cockpit these days?
Yeah. Private plane, Dave, where I can go in the cockpit. I'll take my
chin out. Well, your au pair is the pilot, right?
Yeah, exactly. All right, I think that'll end this fun. Warm butter for everybody on your bread, and enjoy the football.
Oh, that's what you do. Put the ring in the cold butter.
Oh, God.
It'll stay there forever.
Be like, how about that ice?
I feel like when I get the ring, I'm going to want to treat it a little bit better than you guys. I'm not putting on a cat. I'm not putting it in butter. I'm not giving it to anybody else. Stays in my possession.
You know what you could do is leave it on your face for like a few hours. The facial hair will grow around it by 3 o'clock.
You could be like, stick your finger in my beard. And then out comes a ring on her finger.
Well, hey, wait a second. I don't want to be the only one on trial here. Did you guys have any good proposal stories?
I proposed to my wife in Disney World. It's where we got married. So Disney is a place we go a lot. And she proceeded to scream expletives at me in a very happy and excited way. But it's something I will never let her forget.
Like in the middle of Disney World?
No. It was near the Swan and Dolphin hotels, right by the boardwalk. Mm-hmm. And she was so surprised. It was shut the bleep up, shut the bleep up, shut the bleep up multiple times. I was like, well, this is good.
Yeah. This is the rest of your life flashing before your eyes.
And Dave?
We were in the Burger King drive-thru, and it was a fancy Burger King drive-thru. It wasn't like the old school 1980s Burger King restaurant. No. I proposed on the beach here in Florida.
Very nice. Were there people around?
There were not like huddled around us, like, you know, maybe like 50 feet away.
I couldn't imagine doing it in front of people.
But it's not like I
make it in front of people.
It's not like I, you know, grab my champagne glass and clink, clink, clink. Attention, everyone in the restaurant. Right. I love this woman.
Right.
I didn't do that. I actually held the box out and I said, you know what this is, right? And she goes, no. And I was like, oh God. So now I got to really do it. And I got down on a knee and opened up and said, will you marry me? And she said, yes. She did not curse.
Wait, Jamie, so you had relative privacy while you were doing this?
There was no one near us. It was off like a little alcove behind one of the hotels.
Oh, very, very.
There's no way I would have done it around people.
Like, no, I don't think anybody noticed. There wasn't like some wacky old lady going, oh, how cute. You got engaged. Like, Karen and I went on a trip this past year where we saw somebody get engaged, you know, like 30 feet away from where we were, but it was like nice, quiet restaurant. Mm-hmm. It was cool to see, but it's not like I went up to them, way to go, guys. Congratulations. You know, I didn't.
Well, like our old coworker, Eric Mack, who now works for FanDuel, he proposed to his now wife. He also coaches a little league football team. Kids football team, and he proposed after a game where he had the whole team, all the other parents there, and you know, she had no idea, but I saw the videotape. Like, I could never do that. I would never have like that big of a spectacle. I'd be too nervous.
Did I tell you guys the kickball proposal story or no?
No.
Okay, I'll leave you with the kickball proposal story. So my friend, I was obviously big kickball guy. I loved playing when I lived in Florida. My friend was planning to propose to his girlfriend because they met at kickball. So they've been on the team for a few years together, whatever, and I became friends with both of them. And she was bad. He told the visiting team about it. Like, he told the captain of the visiting team, and everybody was in on it. So she led off one of the innings, and the fix was in, basically. And so she kicks the ball, whatever, and the other team, they just start throwing the ball around. They throw it over the first baseman's head. They throw it over the second baseman's head, where everybody's yelling, run, 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 keep on running. So she goes to third base. They throw it away again. Go, go home, go home, go home. She hits a home run, well, you know, gifted by errors. And as she crosses home plate, her boyfriend at the time is on his knee with a ring, proposes to her. And she actually, I think she ran right past him and didn't even notice. And then we were all like, no, check it out. And he proposed to her, and they got married, and now they have a kid.
It would have been great if like somebody didn't know what was happening. There was a play at the plate, like she got smashed.
Oh my gosh, that would have been great.
She became deformed, and he decided not to marry her anymore.
Well, let's not go to extreme.
Okay, Dave, thank you for ending the show.
What would have happened to somebody?
What would have happened if Karen got a grease fire at Burger King? Would you still propose?
Of course I would have. I mean, the food was still good, right?
Okay, I'm glad we had this conversation.
Can I get a Whopper? Can you make it a chicken?
My wife's face is deformed, but this Whopper is great. Life's going to be good.
Adam, just remember, you could do it in English or Spanish in the Dominican Republic.
Thank you. I appreciate that. So send us your emails, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Send us your
and your best
stories.
Proposal stories.
Yeah, best proposal stories or proposal ideas. That could be fun, too. Put football podcast in the subject line. For Dave Richard, Jamie Eisenberg, I'm Adam Azer. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.